computers were coming on and off. I don't know how that would work. Let's pray together. Thank you for being here today. Thank you for joining us online on Facebook. Let's pray this morning. God, thank you for today. Thank you for the love and the grace and the mercy that you always give to us. God, we are free and we are free in you and we need you. God, may you bless us, continue to bless us with your presence this morning. Holy Spirit, may you guide us in truth. May you speak through the one who speaks this morning. Penetrate the hearts and the souls of everyone who hears your word. In the name of Jesus, the church said, amen. Freedom comes with cost and expectation. I don't think we have to go very far with that without understanding. In this country, our freedom comes and has come and continues to come with cost. And it comes with expectations, we believe. And the same is with the body of Christ. Last week we talked about that we were freed for freedom, and you can't be undone by anybody. You can walk away from Jesus, but you can't be condemned in Christ. And Paul has some words after that in the book of Galatians that talk about maybe some of the expectations that we as the body of believers have. So just for a moment, we're going to talk about that. And it's easy to say, right? It's easy to say, I expect this and this. My children, they have certain rules and certain lists of things they have to do. That's easy to say, right? It's easy for me to tell them. It's harder for them to do it. We had a little incident this week I won't mention, but I said do this, and I went back, and it wasn't quite done as it should have been done, because it's easy to say things, and it's easy to say, okay, but doing it is a little different thing. Sometimes it's hard, sometimes it's difficult, and sometimes it's just doing it, and it's a little simple. Watch the boy in the video and see what he has to say to us about our actions.
I'm putting a video on YouTube about no more saying cuss words. No more saying cuss words, guys. It's inappropriate and violent. If you say a cuss word, then you're like going to jail. And you're like, if you say a cuss word, you go to jail. And when you go to jail, if you said a cuss word, then you're only going to eat broccoli and other vegetables for your whole life. You don't want to eat vegetables. Sometimes people like eating sweets, but I eat broccoli. So I'm okay with broccoli, but I do not want to go to jail. You cannot go to jail. And saying cuss words is illegal. They are now going to make a law about that. It is illegal. It is inappropriate. It is really violent. I better warn my school about that.
Oh, if it were that easy, right? To just say, don't do this, or you're going to have to eat broccoli and vegetables and go to jail. I mean, how easy would that to be? I could forego broccoli. I mean, I could do broccoli. I could forego it. Peas? I mean, we could really threaten some good things here. Keep us from doing things. If it were just that easy. And I think when it comes to God and what God expects from us, we do things like that. We're like, don't do this or else you'll get that. Don't behave like this or else you'll go here or you'll have this consequence or that consequence. And without a doubt, from the very beginning in the garden, there was God laying down some rules and some ideas and some thoughts. And if you went outside of those thoughts and rules and ideas, there were consequences. But we've been freed in Christ. Christ fulfilled the law. We talked about last week. But there were some things that were going on, and there were some things that were going on in the early church. And I dare say it probably happens today as well. There were some Gnostic teachers that were teaching, that the body and the spirit were separate. And so when you die, the body goes to the ground, the spirit goes to heaven. And so eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die type language. Paul would go on to say in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13, it's not on your screen, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but don't use your freedom to indulge in the flesh. You see, there's an expectation that comes behind our freedom. It's not a freedom to do whatever we want. Remember Paul when he wrote to the church of Rome, and he would ask them in the letter, he said, should I sin that grace may abound? Because he talked about grace, and so there's this idea that if I just sin more, then why? That allows God to give more grace, and grace is really wonderful, right? I mean, we agree with that, right? Grace is good. This is yes, this is no. All right, grace is good, so if I sin more, God gives more grace, and hallelujah, God has done more giving of that wonderful thing we call grace. He would also say in that same part of that letter, says, what then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? Both of these, Paul would say, absolutely not. That's not what it's about. You're freed for freedom. You're freed so you're not bondaged again and think, well, I have to do this and do this and do this to get to heaven. God didn't do that. He didn't send Jesus so that we could do ourselves into heaven. But he says, don't do this. Don't take this freedom and use it to indulge in yourself. I'm free. Now what? So I've been freed in Jesus. Now what? Number one is live for Him. It's not hard. Maybe it is sometimes. Tell others about Him. Remember Jesus when He was ending His life with His disciples in Matthew chapter 28? And Matthew would record this in his Gospels. He would say, then Jesus came to them and He said, all authority has been in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And what He's telling them, what He's saying, Kent, is that I've been given everything. And so listen to me. I mean, my children, listen to me. I mean, you could do something. You could say something to somebody. You could tell my children, do this and this. And if I tell them to do something else, guess who they're listening to? I promise you they're going to listen to Daddy. Maybe if there's some kind of great incentive, but it's going to have to be really good because they know who their authority in this world is in our circle, in our family. So what Jesus says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. What does that mean? It's not yours. He told his disciples, you can't just do what you want to do. It's not about your agenda. It's not about what things that you want to do. Oh, if we could ever learn that lesson. If we could ever learn the lesson that it's not about us and our freedom is not about us. Jesus said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And so we got to listen to him. He says, Therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Tell other people about. That's what you use your freedom for. Tell others about what happened. In an encounter with the Sanhedrin, the disciples were told not to speak in the name of Jesus anymore. And in Acts chapter 4, Luke records, and they called them in again and commanded them, the disciples commanded them not to speak in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, listen here, guys. Which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judges. For us, we cannot help but speaking about what we have seen and heard. You decide. But for us, it's not a matter even of compulsion to do the right thing. They cannot help but speak of him. I mean, it's something they can't help. It's like Davis Bennett and Tim Donahue. If they go on a fishing trip and they come back and they tell you about their fish that they caught, right? I mean, you're going to hear it over and over again. It's like social media. Man, we tell everything. I can tell where you have been on your vacation, and most of the time it's in real time. Some people wait till after so you don't know that they've been gone. But I know where you've been and what you've done. You've taken a picture of what you've eaten, and if I put something on the smoker, you're going to see it, all right? I mean, I might not share it with you, but I'm going to share it with you, all right? You know what I'm talking about. We want people. There's Davis. I just talked about him, and he's not here. Fill him in, Alicia. We're going to tell people about what we do. and what we have. All authority has been given to me on heaven and earth, therefore go make disciples. Why is it so hard to share? I'll tell you, when gas is so low at Sam's, or when milk is so low, and we'll get on the phone and we'll say, you got to go over here, you got to be a part of this. Why is it so hard to tell people what Jesus did for us? You know, I think we've created a culture in churches that says that, well, that's Doug's job, or that's Michael's job, that's the elder's job. And it's not. What has God done for you? When you hear somebody say, I don't think I can make it anymore, there's your cue to share the gospel. Tell others what Jesus has done for you. What I share on Facebook is here today and gone tomorrow. Our fishing stories are here today and gone tomorrow. But if we will tell people about Jesus, we can change their eternity. What do you do with your freedom? You tell others about Jesus. You do good works. That's what we were created to do. Paul, in his letter to Ephesus, let me get it right, in Ephesians, when he would tell them that we're saved by grace, it's not of ourselves, so that no one could boast, he said this, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. It's about doing good things. It's not necessarily about standing in a pulpit and preaching for an hour or 2 hours or 3 hours or 30 minutes, however long we're going to go today. It's not about that. It's about doing good work for somebody. It's about being the good neighbor. Rebecca Porte, I don't know, for our movie night, I don't know if anybody saw it. I took a picture. I didn't put it on here, but she put a sign up. She said, hey, preacher, can I put up a sign about movie night? You know, she does little yard signs. Nobody asked her to do that. She just did it. I said, absolutely do it. And it was really, really cool. Just do good works. Do good things. Doug talked Wednesday night about spurring one another on in love and good deeds. What does that mean? I don't think we do that anymore. I think we come to church and we say our hellos to people we like to say hello to. But we've forgotten how to spur one another on to love and good works. Bobby Doyle. Can I mention your name? Okay. I can't see. You're behind Mike. So that sister will spur you on to love and good deeds. All right? Amen? She will. And I love it. That's how you do things. If you want to know how to do that, get with Bobby afterwards. Because she'll volunteer you for something or ask you to do something in the Lord. And that's what it means to spur one another on. Do good things. Do the good works that God tells us to do. Tell others, do good works. Be the good neighbor. Be that good Samaritan. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 14, it says, for the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. Be a good neighbor. Keep in step with the Spirit. That's what you do with your freedom. I remember my dad, he was a great gardener. My dad could take something that was dead and been dead for a while and turn it into this beautiful, lush plant. And he would always plant a garden. I remember him tilling, and I remember taking my foot, and it was a big step for me. It wasn't so big for him. And I would put my step in his step as he would till the garden. And I think that's what Paul is trying to describe here in the book of Galatians, right after he talks that we were freed for freedom. So I say, in Galatians chapter 5, I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Keep in step with that Spirit. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They're in conflict with one another so that you are not to do whatever you want. Yeesh. What's the Spirit talking about here? You tell me I can't do what I want? I've grown up in a world that said I can do whatever I want, right? I can go wherever I want. I can do whatever I want. I can see whoever I want. I can watch whatever I want. I can say as many cuss words as I want and won't go to jail and eat broccoli, right? You can't tell me what to do. Don't you? Doug talked about it this morning. Don't you judge me. I can do whatever I want. But what Paul says here, those who are freed for freedom, it doesn't work that way. Verse 18, but if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage. Ouch. Some of those hurt. Selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, and drunkenness, orgies, and the like. That's not the whole list. Those are like that. I warn you, as I did before, that those of you who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. You do go to jail. You go to eternity in jail. And I don't know if broccoli's down there or not, but you know, you're not with God. And if we live like that, if we use our freedom to live in a way that does not honor God, we don't get to be with God. Now, let me say this and clarify this and give this disclaimer so you don't say, well, last week you said you don't, this week you said you do. You cannot work yourself into heaven. You cannot keep yourself into heaven. That's Jesus Christ, and that's the blood and the cross, and that keeps you in heaven, all right? Amen? But if you don't live like God, if you don't live in Christ, you can be condemned. And he says, if you live like this, if you're not walking in the Spirit, you will not see God. I don't know about you, but I want to see God. And I can't wait till I see God. And there will be no more death, no more pain, no more sorrow, no more tears, no more Green Bay Packers, no more whatever it is, they won't be there. I know. If we live like that, but, there's a but. Fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ have been crucified to the flesh with its passions and its desires. Since we live by the Spirit, here it is. Keep in step with the Spirit. When the Spirit moves, we move with the Spirit. When the Spirit tells us to go a certain direction, we go that direction. I think sometimes we're not in tune with the Spirit, and so we wonder and we fumble through life because we're not asking the Spirit to show us the steps we need to take. The Spirit is alive and well, amen? It's not just in the Word. There's a teaching that talks about it being just in the Word. I believe the Spirit moves today in our lives. I believe the Spirit moves and lives and acts in our world, and He reminds us of things. Doug, I don't know if I've shared this story. Not this Doug, another Doug. When I was at the children's home and working at the children's home, he would ask me, are you coming to the prison this year? And I tried to make all kinds of excuses because honestly, I just didn't want to go. I was like, I don't know, Doug. I'll let you know. I'll let you know if I'm going to be there or not. And he would ask me the next year, and I would say, Doug, I'll let you know, and I never went. And then finally he asked me again, will you come to the prison this year? Because we had a Christmas party for the inmates, and I said, I'll let you know. I didn't intend on going to the prison until I walked out the door. For when I was hungry, you fed me. And when I was naked, you clothed me. What do you mean, Lord? When did we see you naked and didn't clothe you, or hungry and didn't feed you? What you have done for the least of these, you've done for me. I was at the prison that year. I'm telling you, the Spirit will speak to you and in you and through you. That was the Spirit. It wasn't me because I didn't intend on doing it. I don't think we're connected with the Spirit. And you might say, well, why not? Because I think we need to make sure that we're listening, our ears are attentive, and that we're asking the Spirit, work in and work through me. The life of freedom is not about me. Paul was saying in that same letter to the church in Galatia in chapter 2, for through the law I died to the law, so that I might live for God. I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. But Christ lives in me. The life that I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The life that I now live is not for me. It's not Michael's world. It's not your world. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go make disciples. When Jesus speaks, he expects us to listen. You've been freed for freedom, and nobody in here can yank that away from you in Christ. But he expects for us to live in him and for him and through us and not for ourselves. Maybe this morning, Maybe this morning, the Spirit, pardon me, the Spirit is urging us to get out of ourselves and to get into Him. Those who belong to Christ, as we read a while ago, could you grab that water for me? It's right there. Sorry. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If you've been freed for freedom, you've crucified yourself. And it's Christ who lives in you. A lot of times we take these fruits of the Spirit, and we go down the list. And we say, well, I'm pretty good at love. Sometimes joy, depends on the day. Depends on who said what to me that day. Peace, I'm pretty peaceful. Kindness, I can be kind. Maybe unless you're not kind to me. Goodness, I'm pretty good to people. I'm faithful. Gentleness, depends on the day sometimes. Self-control, the same. What did I leave out there? Patience. I'm not good at that. Ask my children. I'm not good at that. But I think we've broken that down wrong. Because we look at that and list and we say, well, I'm good at this. I'm not good at that. And I think I can do this. And most days I'm good at that. And boy, I really fail at that. That's not what the Bible says. It doesn't say the fruit of the person will be this. It says the fruit of the Spirit. Did we get that? What's our job? Our job is to keep in step with the Spirit. Sorry. Not a wet frog got down my throat or something. It's not our job to be. It's our job to step. Can we say that? It's not our job to be all these things. It's our job to step in the Spirit. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. See, we kind of forget about the Spirit. We like the Spirit, right? But we don't know a lot about the Spirit, so we're a little scared of the Spirit. But our job is to step where the Spirit steps. And when we step where the Spirit steps, we're going to be how we need to be. The fruit of the Spirit comes out in us when we live in the Spirit. I think we try to say, I've got to do it. It's all about me. Truth is, it's not. I had a buddy in school that quit alcohol that he was heavily entangled with, cold turkey. If he was here today, he would tell you it was the power of the Spirit, not his willingness, because he had tried to stop before. But he surrendered his life to Christ and the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit worked in and through him. I'm freed for freedom. Do not let your freedom allow you to indulge in the sinful nature. Live for Him. Get up every day. The Holy Spirit, where do you want me to go? Show me your steps. Look out for Him. Quit looking out at this world. Sometimes the best thing to do is turn your radio off, turn your TV off, and talk to God. Say, God, where do you want me today? Young people, you're being pulled in all kinds of directions. There's all kinds of things that you're being pulled in directions you're being pulled in this world. Wake up in the morning and say, Holy Spirit, where do you want me? How do you want me to live today? Where do I need to be? Show me your steps so I can step in you. And when you step in Jesus Christ, you cannot help but spew out love. You cannot help but spew out patience and joy and forbearance and kindness and self-control. But when we're in our steps, all those things get kind of messed up. You're freed for freedom. Do not use that freedom to indulge in the sinful nature. But better yet, live for God and live in the Holy Spirit. Are you free today? Are you free? Who are you living for? Who are you keeping in step with? That's a question for all of us. And if you're not free and you haven't been baptized into Jesus Christ, you haven't had your sins washed away, he's waiting. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that you receive your freedom and begin to live for him. We're going to invite you down front in just a moment for you to confess your faith in Jesus Christ, to be baptized into him, begin to walk in the Spirit, begin to live your life for him. If you're in Christ and you've been freed and you're living the sinful life, stop. Just stop and start walking in his steps, not your steps. You need Jesus this morning. Come as we stand to sing.